This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal. The title of this message is Heresy Unto Perfection.
Luke 1. And I think about the 23rd verse. 1:23. It came to pass that as soon as the days of Zechariah's ministration were accomplished, he departed into his own house. And after those days his wife, Elizabeth, conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach from among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, I'll do the best I can. I'll try, Lord. I'll work on it. I'll take all 7 steps. And the angel said unto Mary, Mary, before we start this, we'd like to know, have you been baptized correctly? Do you understand the division of spirit, soul, and body? And are you going to promise to take all the 7 steps to perfection? And Mary said, I'll work on it and do the best I can, and I'll pray my way through. Well, I guess that's not what she said. Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. here I am. You said it, you do it. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. It was quickened to me by the Holy Spirit that in our desire to move on in God, and in our searching for the patterns, those things that God is dealing with us through in these present times, we must not lose sight of the first things first. And, obviously, the first thing is Jesus Christ. For he then unfolds, he's the pattern son, and everything else works through him. However, all the Presbyterians will be ready to say amen. We have this predestination, this for being foreordained. There is something about you were born into be just this generation. You didn't choose it, you're here. Here you are. This is the generation you're here. Now, because of that, we have to finally say to God, you made the promises. You set the order of things and the cyclic order of the sun and the moon and the stars. And here I am at this time. And you gave me these promises and you said them. And finally, in our laboring, we've got to stop and say, well, all right. Be it even unto me. Like you said, so, you do it, here I am. You see what I'm talking about? Now, this I'm convinced is a very important thing. For we can't do it. By grace are you saved, through faith. And yet, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, tonight, at this point, this is a Bible study. And we're studying patterns in the Bible. However, that doesn't get our salvation accomplished. That really doesn't do a whole lot for us unless we apply these lessons we learn in our life and allow the Holy Spirit to make attitude changes in us. And then these lessons will be very beneficial and they'll be very helpful to us. However, if we get the idea that we're going to take all seven steps of perfection, you know, remember all those kind of things, Peter, add to your virtue, faith, and faith. I mean, add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and this kind of thing. If we keep working and striving on this kind of, then who's doing it? We are. So the first thing we do is say, behold, here I am. All right, now let's just look it over. Motley Crue. I mean, let's face it. God's gonna set up his kingdom and give it to us. You know, I mean, you know, isn't that great? Can you imagine? Where do we get an idea like that? I mean, you know, here we are. Now look at all the material God's got to work with. And somehow we get the idea that, you know, big, bright, shining light and a stream of brightness and all of a sudden we're the guys and we're coming into, you know, finding our way into this thing and, you see what I'm driving at? Well, wait a minute. Let's stop. Behold the handmaiden or the servant of the Lord. Here we are. That's all. You said it. It's impossible, God. Now, can you imagine a virgin turning to the angel and saying, I'll give it a try. It does sound rather ridiculous, doesn't it? And I think some of our prayers are kind of ridiculous along the same, you know, ideas. Many of our objectives are just about as ridiculous. I'll give it a try. Come on now. We're not going to do anything except he does it. Yet at the same time, we have these other concepts. We are told to do certain things. Let us labor to enter into that rest. So, we know that there is a rest. And there is a realm where we're going to be in this. Behold the handmaid. And so, might I suggest to you that tonight we're going to have to do some laboring. You and I are going to labor to enter in to a rest, we're going to have to fight our way into doing nothing. Now you think about this for a minute. We're going to have to fight our way up the stairway until we finally do nothing. And of course, this is a completely opposite concept than the normal thing that I've been teaching you. For however, don't you remember? The saints took the kingdom. Jesus said what? Violently and with force. And yet, what we're doing is looking at the other side of the coin. Are you with me tonight? Do you see what I'm talking about? This has got two sides to it. And we've been specializing on one of the sides, our taking the kingdom. And yet, when you get right down to it, what we have to say first is, well, behold, the servant, the handmaiden of the Lord. Here we are. I can't do it. You promised it. You brought me into this. You sent the messenger to give the message. You gave the vision. All right, God, then where's the power, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit? Be it unto us as you promised in the first place. You see what I'm driving at here? So I want you to make a real, I want you to agree with me, that we'll have a real genuine prayer and we'll say, Lord, now we've seen some steps. We've seen rings of heaven. We've seen steps that Peter told us. We've seen spiritual body. We've seen changes. We've already made changes. And yet, we can't do it unless you send the Holy Spirit, like you promised to do, to make the changes in us anyway. Now, we're standing as candidates for this great thing that you promised. And you've heard us say we're standing as candidates, right? Doesn't that sound something like, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, here I am? You see what I'm talking about? The concept is there, the idea. Here we are, now you do it. Yet, on the other side, he said, now you do it. I give you power to tread on scorpions. See, so what? And yet, the truth of the matter is, we can't tread on him until he gives us the power. So here we are. Behold, the handmaiden, the servant of the Lord. And I'd like for you to stop right now, and without any big fanfare, I'd like for you just to pray and say to God, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, behold, the servant of the Lord. Would you do that right now? Just stop. Is that a reasonable agreement? Let's just stop right now. We acknowledge him. Just go ahead and whisper the prayer with your mouth. Just acknowledge him. Acknowledge that he is the God. He is the great God, the King of everything. Acknowledge him with your lips. Just go ahead and do that right now. And just say, behold, the handmaiden, the servant of the Lord. That's all we are. We acknowledge your sovereignty. Here we are, God. Handmaiden, servants of the Lord. That's all we are. Be it unto us as you've said. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. That makes me feel good. You see, if he said it, that sells it. Then it's going to work out. And we may be up and down steps and falling and up, you know, these kind of things, but it's going to work out. Now, I want to, Lord willing, try to get to part of this lesson that you can copy the bottom in a minute. As soon as, okay. It's under perfection, and yet we realize that we can't really get under this perfection until he does in the first place. But the other side of the coin is we got to keep walking and keep moving and keep seeking him and saying, all right, Lord, because we can stop. We can stick our heels in and then it'll kick us until we keep going. We're going to go on under perfection. We're not going to stop with every wind and doctrine. We're not going to give over to doubtful thoughts. But we're going to go on under perfection. There are three major scriptures here. Three major scriptures that we'll have tonight and a few minor ones at the bottom of the chart. You might turn with me now to Ephesians 4. Now, I did promise to teach a lesson on the seven steps to perfection, the seven parts of the parables in Matthew, and that's coming up. But I feel anointed for this one here tonight, Ephesians. Where did Ephesians go? It was over, I know it was here the last time. It was just there. There it is. I got him now. I mean, I'm close. I'm in Galatians. I should be there. Okay. We're starting 11. 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or fullness of the anointing. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in agape, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even the anointing, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in agape love. Let's go back a minute. Verse 14. We're no more children tossed to and fro. No more are we carried about with every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness. But we're going on unto what? Perfection. Therefore, you might expect, during the process of coming into perfection, to be blown about, moved to this, intrigued with that, loving that, studying this, being greatly affected by some other doctrine, or etc. And we're going on into perfection. Now let's get the doubtful thought things out of the way. Romans 14. And see what it is to get us out of these doubtful thoughts, wind and doctrine, mistakes. Well, we do realize that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given for our perfection so that we can take all these steps. Now, in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, it says, now, him that's weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, or in some of your newer margins or newer versions, it might say doubtful thoughts. Not unto doubtful thoughts. Don't receive his doubtful thoughts. Receive the person, but not necessarily that particular doctrine or thing that he's messed up in. Now, you see what I'm driving at? But I'd like to make some thoughts right now with you. In a general sense, what we do is build a structure we call denomination or whatever you want, prayer group or thing like, you name it, everything structured. Then, if something comes into our structure which is outside those walls, we tend not only to reject that thing, but to reject the person who brought the thing. Now, come on. So I want you to see this is a vital thing right now as we're coming into this. Because as you and I mature, we're going to eventually be able to accept and love the person and reject the doubtful thought or doubtful disputation. Can you see the difference now? Now, you can't always do this because as children, you'd be immature. And if the pastor allowed that person to sing from the platform, therefore, what was in that person's life could be then imitated because the pastor is using that person in the church. Therefore, we're not allowed to use that person because of some mistake the person made a few years ago. You see the logic? And how many know that that's the logic that's used? You see? But as we're coming into maturity, we receive that person, whether or not, whatever the problem is, past or present, even, you see. Remaining in the name of Christ, they want to go on, we receive them, we love them, bring them in. But not necessarily those doubtful things that they're still wrapped up in. Am I making sense to you? But only a mature person can come into this kind of a realm. Therefore, we don't expect all people in all realms to embrace everybody, because only those that are going to be at the end time, alive in the name of the coming of the Lord, those that are going to go all the way into this perfection, be sons of God, will be able to do this. But naturally, if you're building a structure, you won't be able to do that. For you'll have to protect your flock and, you know, your structure and your rule book or, you know, whatever the thing is that you have to protect. All right? We'll see some that have been rejected, but we're going now. Verse 2. Now, one believes he may eat all things. Another who is weak is a vegetarian. I said it that way once. Some vegetarian came rearing up. Just a minute. Now look, we're not downing anybody here. Have you ever met me where I really downed anyone or was really against anybody or anything? Now, we'll read on. Let not him that eateth despise him that serves birdseed. And let not him... Am I doing that right? Which eateth not meat, judge him that eateth the meat, for God receiveth him. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up. For God's able to make him stand. Now one man esteemeth Saturday be of Sunday. Now another esteemeth all the days alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You knew that, Seventh-day Adventist and all these kind of things, right? Now he that regardeth the Sabbath regardeth that unto the Lord of that day. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, they give God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, they give God thanks. In other words, some of us are hung up on what day to worship. And some of us wouldn't. I can remember only a few years ago, my wife wouldn't even go to the basement to put a load of clothes in the automatic washer on Sunday. You see, this was our, can you see what I'm talking about? Structure. This is where we were raised. It was right to do that, and we were honoring God. And we surely thought that if we ever turned that machine on at Sunday, it would probably turn on fire. Or, you know, blow a fuse in this one. It would just be bad. But now, we have noticed that in our lives, we're kind of out of the Sunday worship, and to us, all days, every day, is a day of worship in the Lord. And to me, Sunday is no different than any other day. I'm teaching or preaching or going somewhere, and to me, Sunday's like Saturday, and Saturday's like Friday, and Friday's like Thursday, because they're all days of worship and ministry unto Him, with a little ministry unto each other. You see what I'm talking about? Now, how can I find fault? I wouldn't find fault with you if Sunday's your big thing right now. Or it may be that Saturday is your big thing. And of course, for those people who feel that Saturday is their big part of their structure that they're trying to project, they're always out to convince Sunday keepers that they'll never make it in the rapture until they worship on Saturday. Now, you may be, that may be a surprise, but that's literal. There's some who are so, you know, involved in Saturday Sabbath, but as far as they're concerned. Now, if I read this correctly, your position with God and whether you hit the rapture or not, or whatever, you know, other your goal you have, that doesn't seem to have anything to do with what day you go to church on. Agree or disagree is all right. Yet, if that was your, we'll say your Seventh-day Adventist, that means a big thing to you, see? And it does make a difference. And it does, it really does. And we'll get into that as we go on. It does make a difference, but not necessarily to God, it makes a difference to men. All right? Where am I? Seven. None of us lived himself, no man died himself. Whether we live, we live the Lord. Whether we die, we die in the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now that's settled. Praise God. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? If a brother comes in here making a big deal out of Saturday worship, we, as a general, in a general, now there might be some that wouldn't, but in a general sense, we would tend to set not only the Saturday worship at naught, but we would set the brother at naught and find it more difficult to love or to have fellowship with him than someone who is maybe king in the car with us. Seeing things like we see them. Can you see what I'm driving at now? And yet, don't you see the extreme importance of this? If we're going to come to maturity, then we're not going to look at that structure or his, can I call it bag or whatever, you know, his bag, or that thing that he's carrying. That's not going to make a difference in our love toward him or our fellowship with him if we're mature. But as long as we're immature, it very definitely has a right to make a difference.
For the second part of this message by David Ebaugh, entitled Heresy Unto Perfection, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.